I just want to, I know the Holy Spirit is here, but to bring tonight just under Him and under His authority. So if you could just stand with me, just hold hands. Father, we say tonight that this is Your ground and this is holy ground. And if you agree, you may say amen. And Lord, we invite Your Spirit tonight, Father, and we know that Alida Borman can change no one in this place, but only You and Your Spirit can. So Holy Spirit, we open up our hearts, we welcome You, we say that You are the guest of honor tonight. Not me, not anybody else here, not the coffee, no one, but You, Holy Spirit. And we are looking forward to how You are going to change and challenge us tonight. So Lord, thank You that if we draw near to You, You are there. You are just there, and we know that You are here tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can take your seats. I have so much to share tonight. Most of it just in story form. I like to tell stories. So tonight I have quite a few for you. And I just believe that, yeah, I think the Lord just gave me some kind of a weird life so that I can preach some of my life so other people can learn from it. Before I start, I just want you to think of a time when you were in the Lord's presence. Just think back, when were you in the Lord's presence, where He spoke to you, where you heard His voice, and that you had a nice time with God. You could experience God. If you never had such an experience, well, then I believe that you will have it tonight with all my heart. But I ask you just to bring that into remembrance, a time where you were in the Lord's presence, and how that made you feel, and what you experienced through that time. All right. Do you have it? We will get back to that right at the end. So just keep it close to your heart. All right. Good. Okay, so I'm just going to share a little bit out of my life with you tonight. You will laugh at my story. Some are good, some are bad, some are positive, some are negative, some are things I want to say thank you to the Lord to, some are things I want to tell you, do not repeat after me, okay? And I will bring it all, I will bring all the strings together in the end, okay? I just want to add that normally at the end, when I finish preaching, my cheeks, they look like this. I don't need any blusher, ladies, can you see? Tonight it's in the beginning and I already look like this. I don't know what I will look like at the end. Do not be afraid of me. I turn quite pink when I exercise a lot. Just don't be afraid. Okay, great. Okay, my first picture I want to show you, girls and gentlemen. All right. I do not have any photos of my high school here because we didn't have digital photos at that time. So I have a few in a scrapbook, but I can't show you them. So the first picture I want to bring to you is, this is taken at university. Yeah, I was at university at that time. A lot of our friends having fun together at a friend's party. It was a 60s party. All right, so we all went there. And the lady in the middle, I don't know if you remember her, but she was DJing at Awaken. Can you remember? Sister Sean. She is known as Sister Sean. Way back in the day, she was just Shanae Bloom. So I was friends with Shanae. She was a bit wacko already there, so we had some fun together. yeah. Can you believe it? I got my first cell phone only at the end of my first year of university. I do not know how I did a social life at all without a cell phone. It doesn't make sense to me. We actually still had to do telephone dienst. Some of us that's my age can remember that? Okay. The rest of you, it's just very blurry there. And I actually, when I think back, how did we know where to get one another? I don't know that. But anyway, so, yeah. All of those ladies, or most of them, except two of them, is married at this moment. We all have children. We don't get to see one another very often. We are scattered all around. But that is a happy memory for me. Of my university years, but I can remember one night, I've told this before, when I was sitting in my room and I said to the Lord, Lord, everybody is saying that your best years in life is the time that you are at varsity. And I said to God, God, if this is going to be the best years of my life, then please come and take me home, because then I don't want to live any further. At that stage, I knew the Lord and I was happy, but it wasn't extraordinary. It was just, I had a nice life, I knew Jesus, so I was saved, I knew I was going to heaven, I had great fun, but it wasn't enough for me. And I was honest with the Lord, and I said, okay, but then you can just take me, it's all right, I'm okay, you're okay, then you can just take me. Okay, but things I remember, like the highlight of just the things that happened in my university years, is the one story I told you before at the relationship weekend was my Valentine's drive with the Lord. I didn't have a boyfriend. Everyone else was like Valentining, whatever, around the block. And the Lord said to me, just take me for a drive. So I went, I jumped in my car, and I just drove to Cape Town, and I sang songs to the Lord and just had a great time with Him, just fellowshipping with Him and also being intimate with Him. We had some coffee in Simonstown, and people thought I'm weird because I'm all alone in this coffee shop writing in my book, and everyone else is like dating couples, whatever. So that is the one thing that I remember. Another thing that I remember was meeting Rick. This also happened while I was at university, and this was also a hand of God experience. Rick was interested in me, and I said, no, I'm not looking for a man now, sorry. Thank you for looking at me, but goodbye. And I can remember the one time I was walking on the beach, and I knew something was wrong. This is just in a nutshell. Come drink tea with me if you want to hear the whole story. And I said to the Lord, something is wrong. Something is wrong with you and me. I missed you. What did I miss? And the Lord said, well, you should give Rick a try. Just open the door for Rick. So I'm like, okay, I'll do that. Once again, nutshell, lots of other stuff happened. So I went back, and I went to Rick. I said, okay, don't know if you're my husband, but I know I must open the door for you. So there you go. Very shy, what. So I met Rick there. That's another thing that I remember. Then every time I saw one of my friends came to Christ, that was a highlight for me in my university years. I can remember you pray for them, and then, you chat to them, but somehow it never happens. And so many times in church it will happen. I bring them to church with me, maybe not the first time, but after that, see us, whoever, or Fred will make an altar call, and as they go to the front, I can still see it in my mind's eye. I just want to cry about it, but that's a highlight for me, seeing them coming to Christ. And one other thing that I remember, I said to the Lord, I don't want to cry. Okay. Another thing that I remember, I met this guy and I thought he was my husband. That was before Rick. And anyway, so after a long story short, I said, okay, no, this is not it. The Lord spoke to me. I know this is not it. So then I went through a time where I was very lonely. Everybody would go out in the evenings, and I did not want to go out. I don't want to. We go out to a coffee shop, all right? For those of you who are still going to university, there are other places where you can just, like, kayer normally. You don't have to drink or whatever. You can just relax with one another. And I was alone, and when I spend time with the Lord, I unpack all my creative things. I have, like, these boxes with everything from paint, pastelle, crayons, kartonne, linte, kant. I just take it all out, and I just make something pretty. And as I do that, I talk to the Lord, and I share with Him. And I can remember crying that one night and saying, Lord, I am so alone. But I know that You are here. I can feel that You are here. And I know that this time of being alone will not last forever. I know that. So in my aloneness, in my time of, I was hurt, and I didn't understand why did this guy now not work out, why did the Lord allow it to go on for so long, what happened? So I'm a bit confused, but I went to sit on my papa's lap, I made him something pretty, I got it out, I said to the Lord, listen Lord, I'm not lekker, but thank You that You are here, thank You that in this coldness, and in this, it was winter actually also, so it was physically also cold, I was just there. Once again, I put my candles out. I love to be like romantic with the Lord. I put the candles out and had a nice little atmosphere, put my music on, and then I just talked to the Lord. So what struck me about this, and I didn't set this up, but afterwards I saw the highlights of everything that happened in university was what the Lord did. I achieved a few things in my life, but none of that was the highlight. The highlight is just every time where God intervened, when I spent time with the Lord, whether I was very in love with Him or whether it was a difficult time for me. That was my highlight. Because, the presence of the Lord, it outshines any other great achievement that you can accomplish in your life. So for the rest, it's great, but it's on the CV somewhere. I don't know if I'll ever in my life apply for a job again, but I'll probably use it for that again. For the rest, this is what my life really is about. I just realized it. So we had great times. We really had great laughs or whatever. But deep down, I knew there's something more. That's why I said to the Lord, do I miss it? What's happening? I know there is something more. I know there is more to life. When I was checking out and looking for a husband, I knew I was not going to settle for second best. I said it over and over and over to the Lord. I said, I do not want second best. I want the best. And I knew as well that life is more than this. There's something more, and I'm just not quite there yet, but I know that there is something more. Okay. So, mostly guys didn't get me. Okay, so there was a few guys who were interested in me, and they didn't understand, why do I want to be holy? Why do I want to live this pure life? They didn't get it. Okay, so the more you try to explain, the more they didn't get it. So girls, if you are going there next year, I want to encourage you, all right? Keep your heart close to the Lord. And yes, they will not understand. And if they don't understand, it's okay, leave them. All right, someone else can explain everything to them. Tell them to come to church if they want to figure out why your heart's desire is to be pure and to be holy. So I had to bat a few of them, and that was also not nice, okay? It's not nice to do that. So I just want to leave it with you that people did not get me, people of the world, all right? They didn't get me. And I am a bit weird, so maybe even saved guys didn't get me. But luckily, Rick got me. That is the only thing that's important. Okay. So along came Rick. The next slide. If we were to put a caption on this picture, it would probably be, you are my safe place. Isn't that pretty? It was on the day that we were married. I found my wedding pictures this week again. The disc was damaged. I thought I lost it all. And then I took it to V's videos and they just buffed that thing for me. So it was working again. Hallelujah. So I'm so lucky to have it back. So anyway, so I married Rick. And marriage was a shock to me. Because it's not what I expected. I'm a very romantic person, and I really believe in fairy tales. And it didn't end up like a fairy tale, or like it's not the end yet. But it was difficult, and it was hard. And Rick was not doing what he was supposed to do. And I was too many things. I was trying to find too many things in Rick that I was not supposed to find in Rick. That I was supposed to go find in the Lord, but I didn't knew it yet. So you must listen, ladies and guys, you must please listen. So arme Rick. Shame, he should have felt the pressure coming on to that guy. But anyway, people say in the world, they say the two halves make a whole, and that is really wrong, because two wholes will make a whole, okay? So I knew that I need to be a whole person. Rick will not fill me up, okay? Rick cannot do it. Even today, it's wonderful to be married to Rick. And I know that we do have a calling together. But Jesus Christ is the only one that can fill the void in my heart. Okay, no one else can do that. Okay, now I'll get later to the kiddies and whatever. But I was so frustrated with Rick. I must tell you the story. Some of you know it. So the one evening, we were just married. He was a bachelor for very long. So he's not used to letting people know when he's just not coming home or whatever. So he had a meeting. Some of you that are in his meetings will know they go on longer than planned. So I think the meeting was for 7 or something. So it's supposed to be from 7 to 8. So I think, okay, so I'll give him till 9. And then I just want to know if he's all right. He could be lying in a gutter somewhere, had an accident. How am I supposed to know? So at 11, he was not home yet. So I phoned and he didn't answer, or I SMS'd. I can't remember. And then he just let me know, don't you know that I'm busy with the work of the Lord? So I'm like, that is not what I want to hear. So I locked Rick out of the bedroom that night. So I made the spare bedroom ready for him, and I put his toothpaste and his toothbrush there. We were still newlyweds, all right? You learn along the way. And then the next morning, he came knocking on the door. Ping, ping, ping. Hello? So anyway, so we had a little chat, and he was wrong, and I was wrong as well. But yeah, you do many crazy things in the beginning when you're married. But the important thing that I learned along the way, I cried so many times in my marriage. It's really a place where you are dragged to your knees. You are so desperate for the Lord to come through for you. It's not that it's a bad place. It's such a good place, all right? It really keeps you on your knees, not for yourself only, but also for your husband and for your wife. So I pray and I pray and I pray, Lord, I am so frustrated. I am so frustrated. Lord, this, Lord, that. I just keep on praying. That's the one thing that I know. Because you know what? If you pray what is on the Lord's heart, he answers immediately. That is the great thing that I've learned in my marriage. If I want stuff for myself, I'm so selfish and no, I don't know that, but I pray stuff that I just want, nothing happens. But once you pray what is aligned with God's heart, he immediately answers your prayers. It encouraged me so because I know, my goodness, I must just pray more and more and more. I want to tell you another story quickly. We had a little fight the other day. I actually like Rick very much, and I love him, all right, but I'm just sharing with you. We had a little fight the other day, and I was so worked up, and I said, okay, I just need to take a drive, okay? So I got in my car. I can't with the kids in the house, and with Rick, I have two kids, little ones, 4 and 2. I just can't focus. So I got in the car. Now, the petrol price just went up like sky high. Normally, I will drive around the mountain like the Bergpad, and then I will talk to the Lord and unload everything, and then I'll come back home. So I think to myself, this is a rough month. I cannot drive the Bergpad. So all I do is I get in the car. I drive 2 blocks. I go stop in Kampstraat. Do you know where Kampstraat is? So there I park in Kampstraat. And I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, this and this and this. I cry. I pour out my heart. I said, Lord, I don't think this is right, and I don't know what to do. And I asked the Lord, give me wisdom now. What must I tell him? Whoop, and I got the answer. I said to the Lord, Lord, just restore my peace, please, and my joy, because it's all gone out now. And immediately, the Lord restored my peace. And I remember, I said, well, it was not 5 minutes there. It was only 5 minutes. And everything was set into place. I knew what to tell Rick. My heart was at peace, and I immediately had that joy back in my life again. So I'm like, okay, normally it takes an hour, so he's expecting I'm going to be away for an hour, so I can just sit in the car. So the Lord said, no, go back home, tell your husband what I said to you. Okay, so I went back home. I told him, Rick, this is what the Lord is saying. And normally, ladies, they will hear you, but they will not react right away. The next morning, they will come and say, okay, you were right, and I am sorry. So just give them some time. But what I get from this is, in my marriage, I knew that I am desperate for God's hand. I'm desperate for him to guide me. I'm desperate for his presence because I can miss, and I do miss it a lot. If you think that you can do it by yourself, you will find out along the way it will not happen. And that is why statistics out there is the way that it is. All right. Because Rick is also a human being. I'm a human being. I am a difficult tunny. Don't get it right, tunny lady, whatever. Some of you are young. So if he has to do the sermon, he will take me out a lot. But I just know, Lord, you know that this is my husband. And you know what's in his heart. And you know what to work with. And I asked the Lord, what should I pray for Rick? Because the list is so long, I don't always have time to go pray through it all. And the Lord will show you. And he will also give you direction. You laugh. Okay, my husband is a pastor. It is the 4th most difficult job in the world. You know that? News for you. Okay, anyway. According to some other survey in America, it is the 4th most difficult job to do. I think the president is number one, and then there's a few others, and then there is a pastor. Okay, So marriage taught me that. Marriage taught me more than ever, I must seek my identity in Christ. It's so easy to find it in Rick. It's so easy just to be Rick's wife, just to be in his shadow, just to walk like this all the time and just go where he is going. Okay, he is my leader and I am following him, but my identity must be in Christ. All right, so that the Lord taught me in my very few years of marriage, 6 years of marriage. There's a lot still to come. I will learn a lot still, yeah. So lots of tears that I that I cried. My highlight in this time is what I said now, is that the Lord really answers my prayers quickly when it is aligned with what is on his heart. Okay, so remember that. What is on God's heart? If we pray according to that, he answers your prayers quickly. Okay, the next thing that came along was these two little ones. After Cardo was born, some women have amazing experience of birth, or a few. It's not so glamorous, okay, so they just come into the world. But ever since I was little, I wanted to be a mommy. So for some people, it comes later. I wanted to be a mommy right away. So this was a huge thing for me. I'm going to be a mommy. So when I became a mommy, I actually fell into a depro. My little world became shrunk. It was just me and Karde Bormanke crying all the time. He cried a lot when he was a baby in our little flat there at Zomerlist. Okay, so my world became just so small. So I didn't understand Rick, and I didn't understand the kingdom, and everything happened out there because it was just my little world here. Okay, so that can happen even without a baby. So it just happened for me with a baby. And I also had to realize, Alida, this is wonderful. The Lord actually entrusts you with this child and with his calling. It is huge, but this child cannot fulfill you. And this child is not your identity. Your identity needs to be in me. Okay, so the second one came along, little Fia. Such a surprise. I always thought I was only going to have boys. And here the Lord blessed me with this beautiful blonde hair, blue eyes. My goodness, we don't have blue eyes. Rick, neither. It's the grandma's eyes coming through. So he blessed us with this little girl. And the second time around, things went a lot better. Okay, so I'm not in the depro still. I quickly came out of it. All right, I left my eyes, I saw there is actually a vision going out. The kingdom of God is not going to stop because I had a baby. Okay, things go on. So with Fia, I just realized once again, shucks, now I have two. The Lord actually entrusted me with two of these kids, with two callings. He gave me and Rick to help shape for them to go one wherever they want to go. But another thing is I know that my calling is much greater than only those two. It's beyond that. And you know what? That really excites me. It's wonderful to have children, and they will never leave my heart, and they will always, I'll always be their mom. Probably, yeah, till the day that I die. But I know there is more to life than those two. And that really makes me excited. After Fia, yeah, we went through the whole rigmarole, having a small baby. You stand by, op, yes, moeg. Sit my bikini in my car, sit the first paar maanden. But then you get your life back. And then it was different than with Cardi because I learned, okay, and I knew, no, don't worry. This is a great gift, and you receive them as a gift in your house. But there is more to life than just your children, okay? Because I was just thinking, if I can become a mother, then hallelujah, I have arrived. But now I know, yes, that's wonderful to be a mom, but there's lots more for me to do. Okay, I can't just stop being with them. Okay, what I learned in this time of my life, I learned that there is more to life than your kids, what I just said now. What excites me is I don't exactly know what is coming, but I know stuff is coming. Okay, so the Lord cannot reveal everything to me. I'll think it will blow me away, okay? So he's just releasing little bits to me, okay? But I know that there is more. But once again, there is more in Jesus Christ. There is nothing more in Alida Borman, nothing, okay? It's only the Lord that can excite me like that. It's only him that can whisper in my ear. Don't worry, I can see that you are frustrated with these two keeping you around the house or whatever, but more will be coming. Okay, this is just a season. They will grow bigger. They will be able to make their own lunch. They will be able to go to the potty by themselves, that whole thing. Okay, good. So what is the highlight just in this part of my life is to see how these two actually get Jesus. Now Cardi is a bit older. He can talk to us. Fia, not really yet. But every time that I see one of them click something of Jesus, that excites me. Not the first day that they walk, yeah, that's all cool and stuff. Maybe I'm just a weird mom because some people really like that. But that's wonderful. But that is not going to get them to heaven. So every time he answers something that surprised me. The other night, I also said this to you, I think. I was lying next to him. I was reading a story. That was a while back. And he said to me, okay, you must please go now. And normally he would like me to lie a little bit longer with him in the bed. So he's like, no, you must go. I'm like, but why? No, Jesus must come lie here. So I'm like, okay, great, sorry, Jesus, there we go, okay? And then I go out the room, all right. Little things like that, knowing that Jesus is with him, he's all the time, he's there for him, okay? Knowing that Jesus is his Savior, and every time that he experienced the power that is in Jesus Christ, that we have through the Holy Spirit, every time he's with someone is getting healed, if we pray, or we get a word of knowledge, whatever, every time he witnesses that, one of these days he will start to pray for that. That excites me. Okay, and if you're a mom here, maybe you agree to what I have to say now, but that is exciting because they will leave my hand soon, especially Cardi, he's growing up fast, Fia also, but they will leave my hand soon and I cannot guide them anymore. And my heart for them is to know the voice of the Lord and to be obedient to that. Okay, so that is what is exciting for me. Okay, so how they relate to him, how they talk to him. Cardi was going through a funny phase these days. Did not want to pray, did not want to, like, he will make jokes while we pray. So I'm like, what is up with that? Because normally he's like, yeah, I will bid, and likes to hear whatever. So today, it was his birthday today. He was very stoked. You heard this morning he got a hiding on his birthday as he woke up this morning. But anyway, so he was in children's church. And when he came out of there, I was like watching this little guy, and in the car, he was all of a sudden singing songs and like, "Mama, hoe gaan hy vang visse vir Jesus liedjie nou weer? Nou sing ons 'n liedjie wat." And I said to Rick, "Can you see the change?" He was not like that when we came to church. Okay? He was not like that when he left me, because he was clinging to me. Those of you who were here saw that. He was like, didn't want to worship, clinging to me. And I said to Rick, he was in the Lord's presence in children's church. I must still tell Sunel that. I don't have my glasses on, but I don't think she's here. I must tell Sunel that, okay? So she got it right to bring them into the Lord's presence. And you can see that his attitude, whoops, changed around. Okay, that is a highlight for me every time that stuff like that happens. Now, you know that I'm very for children's church. It's so cool if stuff like that happens in children's church. Okay, next one is my family. That is all the cousins on my dad's side of the family. We're quite a big family, but yeah, that's just the dad side. That is cousin Vivian there in his suit. He married, I think he's 40, so we all waited for him to get married. So he's married now. And we had such a lovely wedding. Most of them live overseas. You know, about half of them, and the rest of us is here. I don't have such a good relationship with them. They are older than we are, and then the other side is like younger cousins. We're like all mixed up here in the middle. Okay, so that is the family. I really like my family, and I know that some of you really love your family. But once again, if I have to share things that I enjoy about my family or that is a highlight in my family, it's everywhere where we experience the Lord. Now, with this side of the family, none of them knows the Lord. It's only my brothers and sisters. It's the only ones that know the Lord, and then my one cousin. But the rest, they don't really, and they're not really interested. And they really come out of broken homes. My cousin, or the two cousins, Nuggie and Nephi, sorry for the English, I'm Afrikaans. My Nuggie and Nephi, she committed suicide 3 weeks ago. That's why I actually put on this picture, because it affected this family most. So all of a sudden, we are in Mpumalanga, and we got the news. My dad was with us. It's his sister. And immediately, I'm like, okay, so what must we do? We must do something, all right? So the Lord made it that we cannot move our tickets. We can't get down. They made the funeral very early because it's very hard on my grandmother, and they don't want to drag it out. And so we just couldn't make the funeral. My dad left immediately, so that morning we were there for him. And then they come down. I'm like, Lord, we are the only people saved in that side of the family. We need to go help them. Okay, we need to be there for them. I'm so afraid that my one cousin, she's out of rehab for drugs. My Tani that committed suicide, husband, he's out of rehab for alcoholism, and he's gone drinking again in the whole side. And I'm just thinking, they're not going to make it. Okay, so me and my sister, we were there, and we like to do things. A friend of hers, the house burned down, and while the house was still burning, there she arrived with food, money, and a bunch of flowers. But that's my sister, okay, so we want to fix this now, and we want to be there for them, and somehow we just couldn't make it. It's not possible, and we just had to trust the Lord to be there for them. We're afraid for my Oma that she will not make it. She's very old. Twice I went to say goodbye to her, because she's really on her end, but then she's right again, so she's okay. And then we are afraid that she will not make it, or because they have nothing to fall back on. They do not have Jesus, and I don't know how you go through such a trauma if you do not have Jesus. I honestly don't know how you do that. So the Lord kept us up there in Mpumalanga and in the Free State, and we couldn't come down. And all I had for them was prayer. I had to go, and I said to the Lord, I have nothing to give them now. I cannot hold them. I cannot encourage them. I don't know what to say to them. I have nothing. I can just pray. So the Lord gave us a strategy, me and my sister, okay? Whom should we connect with? And what should we do for them? Okay, like we don't know them that well. So we make turns to go to Oma. Oma must go for shopping now, because Tani Alda used to do that. Okay, she's not there anymore. We have to go through to my cousin in Cape Town, and we have to go take her some food and chat with her, etc. Okay, so in the beginning, I'm like, Lord, okay, I don't know what to do, and I don't really have the time. Okay, so I said, but I know that we must do something when we're back. So you must tell us what to do. I just want to bring them Jesus. I just want to love them, okay? We should have done it earlier, and we didn't. Okay, so the Lord gives me strategy, all right? He's like, okay, this is what you're going to do. You meet once a week and you really intercede for them because this is a time where they are fragile and this is a time where the Lord can come and touch them, okay? And then you go to Oma and you do this for Oma and you go to your cousin and you go that for your cousin. So just with this whole family thing, I just know that, yes, we laugh a lot. Yes, we are loud a lot. But especially in this side of my family, I can see the destruction and the loneliness and the emptiness in their lives when they do not know Jesus Christ. The things that they put a lot of value on, okay? And in a time such as this, all of that fall apart. That's actually just what I want to tell you. All of that, it just falls away, okay? There's nothing to it. All right, so we're really trusting the Lord, yeah, for this side of the family. Hopefully, I will have testimony soon because, yeah, we really trust that something will happen. So, then the next slide, those people you all know, that is my shofar family. Okay. Now, a while back, I told you the story how my family, my shofar house, actually became an idol in my life. Because this was so important to me, the bride was so important to me that I forgot about the bridegroom, okay? That's another sermon that I shared with you guys. Okay, so in this family, I've learned a lot, okay? In this family, I've learned that you can burn out very fast. Okay, Liesl said that you must serve. You must serve if the Lord tells you to serve, and you must find out where, okay? If you serve out of your own strength, it doesn't matter if this is for a good cause, you will not make it, okay? You will get offended. You will get tired, all right? You will be thinking, what the hell was I thinking? Okay, you cannot serve in this house, all right? Out of a place of, I must do it for Rick. No, no, no. Rick will think I'm cool, okay? Everybody will look at me and say, well done, okay? You won't get a lot of thank yous, okay? We try to say thank you, but that does not happen often. I always say to the children's church teachers, that is the ministry that you get the least thank yous in. So you know their hearts are sharp, okay? Parents don't say thank you often, okay? And they work very hard. So who do you do it for? Who do you serve? When you come to church, when you have to pour coffee, do you do that so that Aubrey does not jump down your back? All right? Do you come on a Saturday to sweep this floor, mop this floor, set up those classrooms? Those of you who have not been to a set-up Saturday, it is hard work. But who do you do it for? Okay, that's just what I want to bring to you. Because we do find that people do burn out. We do find that people get offended with the church. And then we're like, but what happened? What happened along the way? You were all right a few months ago. Okay, we don't get to see everyone often. So you just need to check your heart, okay? Check your heart. Why do you serve and for who do you serve? All right, so just check that. I've done it wrong many times. And the moment I start to feel tired, offended, what must I say at this meeting? Where must we go? I know I'm in the wrong place. Lord, I'm not leading this. You are, okay? So tell me, what must we do? You must think I'm crazy. I actually have a message for you. Okay, just hang on there. Okay, what is my highlight in this part of my life? My highlight is every time I see the Spirit of God move. Because every time that the Spirit moves, the same at university, it outshines the rest. I know that it must happen more in our house. Okay, we must let the Holy Spirit move more in our house. And that was my other sermon that I preached the other night. And that I know that we have to exercise more, okay? The Holy Spirit must use us more and more and more because we must portray the power that we have through the Holy Spirit, okay? That Jesus made possible for us, okay? Cool, so I have a bit of word for you. It's not only stories. Read with me John 8:28. Okay. Jesus was also a human being like us on earth, okay? And I want us just to look quickly at what was the standard of Jesus. Okay, what was he looking at for his standard? John 8:28. Then Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am and that I do nothing but of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Even Jesus was only saying and doing what the Father has taught him. I think Jesus came a lot of the times very tired, emotionally really moch, verbay, all right? But his father taught him, and I think that was really his sustenance, is that the right word? His endurance, is that inner place and that secret place that he shared with his father. And that was enough for him to do the ministry that he did on earth. Okay. Once I had to tell Rick, stop comparing our marriage to our friends' marriage. Because that is not the standard. Jesus is our standard. Ask Jesus what you should do in our marriage. Okay? Don't ask Jan Pity over there and think because Jan Pity is doing that, you are still okay because at least you are not doing that. Okay? So Jesus should be your standard. You should go hear from him. What shall you do? What must you do? What is the standard? Lord, I did not have a father. How on earth am I supposed to be? I know how to be a dad. You ask, God, you are a father. Hello. How must I be a dad? How must I be a husband? How must I not hit my wife? Because that's all I ever saw my dad do. Okay? And the Lord must teach us. Okay. So this is now getting into a sermon. Story's over. Follow me. Okay. So Jesus must be our standard. Next scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we do not dare to rank or compare ourselves with some of the ones commending themselves. But they measuring themselves among themselves and comparing themselves to themselves are not perceptive. What this scripture is saying to us, do not compare or rank yourself to the person next to you. Okay. May this be a rhema word for some of you. So I'm a pastor's wife. Okay, so the pastor's wife above me is Lucille. Because we are a lot under them, and then it's like Lucille. So I check that woman out every time I get to spend time with her. How does she walk? How does she talk? How does she handle this? And every time she just surprises me because she's just human. Okay, it's so funny. And one day the Lord said to me, I will, some days I'll stand in front and I'm like, how should I worship now? How should I react now? What would Lucille have done? Okay, and the Lord said to me, Alida, stop it. All right, Lucille is wonderful, okay, and she is your spiritual mommy, but what will I do? You are in my presence, and it's you and me. Lucille is not there, all right? So forget about Lucille and what she would do, and just be yourself in my presence, okay? We went to the Hillsong's Women Conference to go check out how they do things so that we can learn from them to do Awaken. So there now is all these international speakers. It's Bobby Houston. My goodness, her guy is that guy. It's the pastor at the Hillsong's Kerk in Australia. She's there. And Christine Kane, and there's lots of women up there. So I go find them all on Twitter, and now I follow them on Twitter. And immediately, I start to compare myself. I'm like, yes, look what they are doing, and look how they are doing this. And then all of a sudden, the Lord said to me, Nia, Poppy. Okay? It's not about them. And they have their own calling and their own way of teaching and their own way of speaking, and that's wonderful. They have very high-pitched voices. Those of you who were there with us, Marie also said that first night we had a headache, we were struggling, it's like very high. And then Vera from Russia shared with us, she's got this deep voice. I really enjoyed the session, it was wonderful. So this is in my life, but think in your life, who are you comparing yourself with? And just know that they are not the standard for you, but Jesus is your standard. All right, what would he do in a situation like this or that? Where would he go? What would his vision be? Okay. yeah, it was really funny. I found out, and I think the same with you, that we rely too much on man. I rely on Rick to let's say give me an answer out of the word. Maybe you rely on Gilly to tell you which guy or lady to date. We rely on our small group leader for advice, for everything. We rely on this one. We rely on that one. Oh, I just want to be with you because you can hear from the Lord. All right, like the Old Testament where the Lord spoke to a prophet and then the prophet will speak to the people. But Jesus came to take that away so that we can actually speak to the Lord. Okay? There's nothing wrong when you have great people that walk the walk with you. Where is the vet? What is my time? -10 or just 10? Okay. Then Mika, you must do this, okay, for the miners. So we want everybody else to tell us what to do. When we, Jesus died so that we can have the sacred place of hearing our Father's voice directly, okay, and the Lord can tell us directly what to do. I found myself a while back, in my quiet times, I only pray for other people. Gilly will say that is a great thing because that is what we teach. You should pray more for other people than for yourself. But then I realize I'm only praying for other people the whole time because the list, once again, is long that I need to pray for. And then I think my quiet time is done. But then I realized I did not speak to the Lord about me. And I did not give the Lord a chance to talk to me because I was speaking all the time. So how can I hear the Lord's voice if I do not shut up sometime and just sit in His presence? And that is what I want to get to tonight, is we neglect the presence of the Lord. We neglect just sitting in His presence, being comfortable in His presence, and allowing Him to speak to us. That is why I shared my journey with you tonight, because I just want you to pick up the times that I had the most beautiful times. The things that I remember is the times where I was in the presence of the Lord, and where the Lord's presence brought me out of the pit, or when the Lord's presence showed me, this is not the guy for you to marry, or when the Lord's presence said to me, gee vir Rika kans. If it weren't for that, then I really hope that the Lord would have taken me long ago. But luckily I am in the Lord's presence. If it's not for that, why do we live? If I don't have that inner place with the Lord. I know you have a lot of questions about how to be intimate with the Lord. I'm not married. How can I understand that? It's not so glorious. Sex is not so glorious. You can really relax. I thought it was this wonderful thing. It's not this wonderful. Okay. There's nothing. Okay, I can tell you this. I think I also shared it. Rick's best friend, before we got married, they got married. He came back from honeymoon and he said, having sex is not as good as seeing someone get saved. I was so let down. I was like, no way. I was looking forward to it all my life. And you tell me it is not better than someone getting saved. Okay, I'm telling you today, it is not better than someone getting saved. Okay, that is glorious and that is eternal. All right, and that should excite us and should excite our hearts. And that is the things that I remember. If I have to tell my kids stuff, those are the stories that I will tell. All right. I'm getting off track now. So how do you do that? I know that some of you struggle and you ask me, a lot of the ladies that I counsel, they ask, but how do I hear the Lord's voice? All right? Let me take you through a normal quiet time with Alida Borman. I cannot do things the same way for a month. So I have to change all the time. That is how it works for me. Okay? So let's say if I do quiet time on my bed, then I need to be alone. The kids need to be in bed and Rick must not come in. Because I am talking to the lover of my soul now. And it doesn't matter if you need a broekie, I want to be with God. Okay. It is so easy for us if the phone rings, we pick it up. Oh, hello. All right, but you were talking to the Lord. Or you were waiting on the Lord. Or the BBM comes through. It's so difficult for us. So just put your phone in the microwave somewhere or wherever and go to your room. And close the door. And be by yourself. I can't do that very long. Then I need to go walk in nature. Okay? Because that is how I connect with the Lord. I just go for a stuppy. I said to Rick, watch the kids. I need to get out. I walk with the Lord and I talk with Him. Sometimes I need to dance. It's normally those mornings when I'm like, Lord, you've got to be kidding me. This coat. I'm in a depro. And then the Holy Spirit will whisper to me, go dance. Then I get up. To put my camera yasi on, walk. I just press play in the living room, okay? I'm not in the mood. And as the music starts to sing and I start to move my body, all of a sudden I come into worship before the Lord. And while I dance, I can hear His voice, actually. I can hear Him speaking to me. I can hear Him what He's saying to me, all right? That is the times where I experience the Lord very intimately is when I dance before Him. Funny Rimana like uitgevriek. Anyway, so those are just a few things that you can do. Sometimes I need to take a drive all by myself. I need to put the worship music on very loud, and I just worship. And then I put it all quiet, and I just sit. I sit, I listen how it rains. I sit, I listen, I watch the birds outside. And as I just be quiet, the Lord speaks to me. Sometimes it's just a little thing. Cardio will say something to me, and that will minister to me. I can hear the Lord's voice. All right. I don't get out a lot, or last year especially. This year I'm in the office a bit. But when you're at home with your kids, or when you are somewhere in a weird place, and there's not really friends and family supporting you, or people in church, it gets lonely. I have to throw this in. I went to Taiwan out of my little Stellenbosch cocoon. Probably 99% of my friends were saved. I went to church. I went to Bible school. I was very involved in church. So everything I actually did every day, there were saved people around me. So it's not often that you get someone saying, "Oh, so, yeah, we don't really like you." Some of you work in places where people are nasty. I can't even imitate a nasty person. I don't get around them often. But then I go to Taiwan, and there's no one. They don't even believe in the Jesus that I believe. They don't have a cooking clue what the Bible even is. Okay? There's just, they don't care, and they don't mind. I don't have a church, and I don't have a small group. And the only church is like an Ingekerk, and they speak Mandarin, so I cannot understand anything. So what do I have? Out of this little cocoon, I'm all by myself. And I have the Holy Spirit with me. And I had the most amazing times driving on my little scooter key through the rice fields, in the night or in the morning early, going to the beach, dancing in my room once again. Then the lady opposite the street, she's busy burning her incense to her whatever God. She goes like this. And I'm in this side. She can see me, and I'm just dancing. And in those days where everything else was actually taken away, it was only me and the Lord, I had a fabulous time because I was in His presence. And it was difficult with work and stuff. I wasn't used to teaching like toddler kids. I taught kindergarten. So that was a challenge for me. And it was a difficult time. But I don't remember the difficult times. I remember all the times that I had with the Lord, that I was in the Lord's presence. And that was the highlight for me. It's the weirdest thing. My memories of Taiwan stay crystal clear. I really hope that I can go back one day. That is such a great country. Have any one of you been there? Oh, there's one. Great. Yeah, yes, I had a good time there. That was nice. Okay, another scripture I want to read to you about the Lord's presence. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was the scripture I got that day when I was sitting in Kampstraat for the 5 minutes, where the Lord really came to restore my joy, and my peace. Because that is on God's heart for us. We live in a tough world, and times are going to get rough and even more tough. Okay? And there is a place where you can be in peace and in God's joy. All right? But you need to be in the Lord's presence. You need to be often in the Lord's presence, okay? May you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I do not know what hope my cousins have if they do not have Jesus Christ. What do you hope for? What do you live for? I don't know. I should ask them. I'm going to spend time with them now, so I'll ask them that. But I don't know. If the band can just come up for me, please. All I know is that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. It was beautiful this morning. They had anointed Rick here, Titani and Umit for Rick anoint. And one thing that they prayed was that his joy, something about his joy that will be his strength, what. And that is so important. Because in a grumpy, gloomy world, we will shine Christ's light with the joy that we have. We can only get that joy from Jesus Christ, because if everything else is down and out around you and you show joy, people will see that. And that you get in the presence of the Lord, where He restores you. All right. The last 2 weeks, Rick has been so funny. I said to him the other day, "I just want to tell you, I see that you are very funny and I really like it." He's never funny at home. He's like shutting down at home. He's just funny around other people. But he will do the weirdest things. Don't tell him I told you. But the other day, I was busy making coffee or something. I had a hectic day. Most of the times when he comes home, I'm really tired and just... So he's home for 2 hours, then he goes again. So in that 2 hours, he doesn't get a lovely wife always. But anyway, so I'm making coffee. And as I turn around, he was standing on the table. So let's say I'm standing down there. He was standing on the table going... I'm like, where did that come from? It was just funny. And then we will sit and have dinner. And once again, I'm a quiet taneki by 5. I'm not in a good mood. So we will have dinner like 5:30 around there. And then I will be tired and the kids must eat. And they don't want to eat their veggies. And it's just like not lekker. And Rick will just come and do something funny. He will make faces at them. Or they will decide, no, they're just going to like drink their food instead of eating it. He will just come with some random thing. And that blesses our house immensely. My grumpiness cannot stand it. I have to break and laugh with. It breaks the tension in our home. That joy comes and fills our house. And the kids are all of a sudden, oh, yeah, let's eat our veggies. Okay, that's cool, that's fun. And they just eat their veggies. Okay. And that's just joy. Joy that my husband brings into the house and the big difference that it makes. Okay. I don't know. I'm so thankful for Rick and for his jokes. I don't laugh at his jokes often. It's just not my sense of humor, and I think he's a lot of the time very disappointed. But these things, they really make me laugh. These out-of-the-box things, that's just weird, and just where did that come from? Another scripture I want to read to you is Psalm 16, verse 11. You will make me know the way of life. Isn't that what we all want to know? What is the way of our life? Where must we go? Lord, what decision must I make? What job offer must I choose? Where must I go? Must we move? Must we stay? Where must my kids go to school? What must I do with my finances? Who must I go talk to? That is the way of life. And you will make me know the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joys. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I have known many pleasures of the world. Like Mariette, I was not drunk. I didn't sleep before marriage. So I don't know if that is pleasures for people. I don't know. But I can promise you today, my life, I can testify to you that there's nothing that compares to knowing the Lord and to have that fullness of joy in your heart. And the Lord gives us that pleasures. That is His pleasures that He promises us and that He gives us. And nothing can compare to that. If you never experienced it before, ask the Lord for it. Say, Lord, I want that. I want to experience that knowing you is a greater pleasure than sleeping with my boyfriend. It's a greater pleasure than lying to my parents. It's a greater pleasure. And the Lord will show that to you because that is in His heart. Okay, He wants to show that to you. Another scripture, Psalm 31, verse 20. You shall hide them in the secrecy of your presence from the pride of man. You shall hide them in a shelter away from the strife of tongues. If you had a bad day at the office, if you had a bad day in your house, that uncle of mine that is an alcoholic, he has nothing good to say to his son. Maybe you have a father or a boss like that. Okay, it gets no affirmation. What does the Lord promise us? You shall hide them in the secrecy of your presence from the pride of man, and you shall hide them in a shelter away from the strife of tongues. No one else can do that. Where do you get it? In the presence of the Lord. And I know that you are in a deep hunger for the presence of the Lord. And all I want to leave with you is we need to be desperate for the presence of the Lord. Because I pick up that we are not. We are not that desperate. We are so relying on the people around us that we do not want the presence of the Lord as much as we should want. The last scripture, Acts 3, verse 19. Therefore repent and convert so that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So the Lord is saying, just repent. Repent that you do not love me. Repent that you do not want my ways. Repent so that He can bring that times of refreshing for you. And you get that in His presence. So I want us to stand, please. So as I was sharing all my little stories from my life, I just want you to take home I'm not even an old lady, okay, but take my word for it, that there's nothing that compares to the presence of the Lord. And I can know it today. I also know today that I, what I was feeling at university, how I think that that was the best days of my life, that was nothing. I am turning 30 this year, and I do not want to know what it's going to be like when I am 50, because life is great. So I'm so excited. It's as if it's just multiplying year by year by year. As I spend time in God's presence and I'm seeking Him. And nothing can compare to that. So I want you to close your eyes tonight, because there's a few people, a few groups of people that I just want to talk to. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will tug you in your heart if you know that's you. Firstly, that you are neglecting your quiet time. You are neglecting that presence. The presence of the Lord. It's not that important to you. You would rather pick up your phone, or your phone is a distraction. It's really a distraction, guys. If your phone is a distraction, go put it away, switch the thing off. It is all right if no one can reach you for a half day. It is all right. So you are struggling with that, and you must repent of that and say, Lord, I repent of not putting you first, of not making the time with you sacred. And then I believe that there's people that you need that joy and that peace that the Lord promises us. In the times that we live in, you feel swayed by the world. If they are negative, you are negative. You struggle to stand in that joy and in that peace that the Lord is promising you. Okay, and you're going to tell that tonight to God. You want that joy and you want that peace. And as I prayed that in Kampstraat, where I was so desperate, the Lord answered me immediately. And I trust tonight, I have faith that He will do it right now for you. And maybe there's some of you, you just don't hear the Lord's voice. You struggle to hear His voice. You got this thing to pray for other people now, and you pray for yourself, but how do you hear the Lord's voice? Okay? The Lord is speaking to you. You must just listen. All right? If you struggle with that, I will pray for you tonight. Personally, I will ask you to come forward. Okay? If you struggle to just to hear the Lord's voice. And then if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, that is really my testimony. My life changed around the night I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because then I realized there is more to life. Then I realized, Lord, it's You that I want. And there's power in Your name. And I must move in Your Holy Spirit. And if that is all that I do till the day that I die, is to teach people how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that will be great for me. Because that is the difference. That is the difference from you and the guy next door that nothing is happening. It's dead. It's dead religion. Let us not be a church where it is dead. It can only be alive if the Spirit is here with us tonight. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's weird, it's funny, come to me. I want to pray with you, and I want to ask, we ask Jesus to fill you with His Spirit. All right? So that there's just an openness and something more can open up to you so that the Spirit can start to work through you. You have to ask Him. Okay. So I want the band to do that last song for us again. I want you not to think tonight what you want to pray. I want you to open your mouth and to speak and to tell the Lord, if you are sorry, what you long for, what you miss. Lord, it's boring. I'm here because my parents tell me to come, or because people expect me to be here. Be honest with the Lord. He knows what's in your mind. Lord, I am serving in this ministry because I really want Rick's affirmation, because I don't have a dad who affirms me. Okay, that is wrong. You should serve for Jesus Christ and not for Rick Borman. And you need to tell the Lord that tonight. Okay, so as they play, there will be sound, so no one else will hear you. But I want you to speak it out. Some of us, we still pray in our minds, and you should speak to the Lord as you speak to me as a person, and tell Him what is in your heart and what do you feel. All right. And I'm going to go downstairs as they start to pray, and I want you to pray first by yourself, and then those people who struggle to hear the Lord's voice. I will be waiting for you here, because I want to pray for you. I want to lay hands on you. Okay? Because I trust the Lord that you will start to pick up when He is praying to, speaking to you. Because He is speaking to you. We must just tune in, and we must pick up when it's Him speaking to us. And then if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, that is such a great thing for me, is to pray for people to be filled with the Spirit. I'd like to pray for you tonight. Okay. Okay, I'm just going to close for us in prayer. Father, as you teach out of your word tonight, Lord, the riches, the pleasures, the fullness of life that we receive in your presence, God, and knowing you. And Lord, tonight we say, we are sorry, God, that we neglected your presence. We neglected being in your presence, Lord. So many other things comes in the way. And Father, I just want to speak over your people tonight, a desperation for your presence, Lord, that you will reveal to us, Father, how desperate we should be for you. In Jesus' name, I pray that you will give us perspective, Lord, who we are in you. In Jesus' name. I just feel the Holy Spirit, sorry, but I feel the Holy Spirit now saying that you struggle to be in the Lord's presence because you are afraid of him, because you are afraid of your own biological father. All right? And if that is you, I want to tell you tonight that the Lord will not hurt you. The Lord will not misuse you. And the Lord is gentle. You will not know him if you do not open your heart for him to show you that he is gentle, that you can trust him with your heart. Do not be afraid. I feel the Lord is saying, do not be afraid to be intimate with me. So Lord, we open to you tonight, and we are expectant, Father, of what you are going to do now, Lord. Father, thank you that there is a place of peace and joy in this world that we live in, Lord, and that will shine your light, God. And we pray for that place of peace and of joy in Jesus' name. Father, we are fed up with dead religion, Lord. We are fed up with mediocre lives, God. We know there's something greater. We know there's something more, Lord. It's only in you, God, we want to press into you tonight and say, we are so much for once us. We want to go over and beyond, Lord, the dreams that we've hide away long ago, deep at the bottom of our hearts, Lord. We pray that you will burn on them again, God. Because that is you speaking to us. Ek voel die Here sê sommige van julle, het regtig drome gebeur. Jy het gedink, dis 'n groot droom. Ek het dit gedroom toe ek 'n kind was, maar nou is ek groot en dit gaan nie gebeur nie. En ek voel die Here sê, dis juist dit wat gaan gebeur. Kom gee dit vir my, kom maak dit oop, kom stof dit af. But only I can do that through you. And you need to be in my presence because I want to run that thing with you. I've placed it in your heart in the first place, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so let's worship the Lord. I will be waiting in front if you want to hear the Lord's voice and you struggle. Okay, first focus on God, let's worship first, but then you come forward, okay, and the people that want to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, thanks, Quibi. Spirit now alive within my heart. Yes, Jesus, we rest in your presence tonight, Lord, and we surrender to you, and we say thank you that in your presence there is fullness, Lord. Father, we say more of your presence, God. And we ask that in this week, Lord, as we go, Father, that we will be hungry for your presence, desperate for your presence. Lord, give us the revelation how much we need you, Lord. We cannot do this in our own strength. Thank you, Lord, that you are forever faithful, Lord, and that you are forever trustworthy, and that your love is so gentle, Lord, but it can be so fierce, it will take us out of the pit of hell if we shout and cry your name. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you made a plan to bring your Son, Jesus Christ, to see him being crucified, Lord, so that we can be set free, so that our chains can be broken tonight. We worship you for that, God. In Jesus' name.